The Roundtable Podcast is brought to you by Big Ass Fans, ideal for home and business applications, including clean air system models to kill viruses. Go to bigassfans.ca.
Here we go. Final roundtable for the week ending Friday, the 19th of February. Joining us, host of the Pole Position Podcast, which is excellent, John Paul. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Also joining us, Selena Caesar-Chavan, former Liberal MP, senior advisor at Queen's University, and author. Great to meet you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This is great. So glad
great
you could
to
do
have
it.
You. Let's start off with the big topic of the day. We were just talking to the mayor about it. Province extending the stay-at-home order and all existing public health and workplace safety measures in Toronto and Peel. York Region, meanwhile, they're going to make a transition out of the shutdown and get some of the business back to normal. Restaurants, small retailers, gyms, among those businesses being able to open at a limited capacity. Selena, we'll start with you. It seems like this was kind of rubber stamped today, that these medical officers can ask for it, and the province is going to not really stand in their way at all if they want the place to be locked down, or in York's case, to open back up.
So, you know what? I listened to the episode with the mayor, and I understand the frustrations of some of your callers. I live in Durham Region. I don't want anybody from Toronto coming out here to go to the restaurants. But at the same time, you know, Tory is listening to his medical advisors. And, I get that people think they have carte blanche, but they actually are experts and they feed that expertise to our elected officials. And the elected official needs to make a decision based on that level of expertise. And so I think Tory is caught between a rock and a hard place. He knows his constituents are clearly upset about this, but they need to do what is right so that we don't get a third wave and we don't get this impact of the variant that everybody is really scared about.
John, do you feel the same way? Do you think that this has been handled correctly? Because I'm going to tell you, looking at the board today, the text board, there's a lot of people who just don't trust any of this anymore.
Well, I think one of the challenges is the word expert, because it's been tossed around a lot the last 9 to 10 months. And for casual observers of news, you get to a point where you're like, which expert is the most expert-y? Because they don't seem to agree. Like, a lockdown works in Ontario without a curfew, but they need to have a curfew in Quebec. So which expert's right? I don't know. I boil it down to this. It's a very unpopular decision for the mayor to support. Politicians genuinely go with the most popular, easy solution that would get them votes. So anytime a politician makes a decision that they know is not going to be popular, but they believe it to be in the best interest of their constituents, I'm going to side with that politician and believe that they know something that we don't know.
So during a city council meeting to debate the now approved 2021 budget yesterday, this happened.
Texting and driving, it's illegal.
Councillor Fletcher.
Yes.
Okay, you're driving and you're voting on your phone.
You can't vote while you're driving a motor vehicle. Unlawful.
I'm not holding the phone. You're looking at me. Hands are on the wheel. My eyes are straight ahead.
It's just inappropriate.
Now, we can all be forgiven if we're thinking about our grandparents inside of a Zoom chat right now, listening to that. But Selena, we put the issue of distracted driving kind of to one side and asked the question when it comes to Councillor Paula Fletcher, is it more important that she be focused on a vote as opposed to trying to multitask too much and driving her vehicle with her assistant and trying to, because as Ryan put it, he's paying her salary because this is his representative and he'd like to see her focused on the issue at hand.
So putting aside the fact that she may not have known when this vote would be called, we need to understand that they were voting on the budget. Yeah. Like, this is one where you kind of want to pay attention to line by line items and make sure that you're voting appropriately. So I have to agree there. I'm not sure I would want to be the one that was driving while I was voting on the City of Toronto's any part of their budget bill, any part of that. I think that the planning was a little bit poor. If they know that the budget is coming up, that they should be able to make accommodations. I don't get this one at all.
That's a really great point, Selena, because, John, it's not like we're talking about parking restrictions at Busker Fest.
No.
Well, look, I agree the budget should probably be pretty high up there, but I think most voters would say, isn't everything important that we do? Like, it's part of your job. The little things matter. I think we forget that sometimes. The little things matter. And if you don't take it seriously, how can you expect others to have confidence in you? That audio of that conversation of them having that conversation, that does not inspire a lot of confidence in any of them, as far as I'm concerned. But look, prior planning prevents piss poor performance, and that's exactly what happened here.
Paula, just throwing an extra P
it's
in
a
there
lot
for
of
fun.
Alliteration.
This is interesting, and this really does bug me, because I think that we need to move on from the idea of even naming schools. And I know that might be a touch on the controversial side, maybe not for some people out there, but York Region community members spoke at a virtual town hall for over 3 hours yesterday about who they'd like to rename a Vaughan High School after. Many took the opportunity to criticize the naming process, because often one trustee is given the sole authority to decide what option is put forward and ultimately what the school is named. Selena, I just think that there's way too much politicking involved. We have way too many times where we've put a name up on a school and then we realized later on down the road that that person was unsavory, downright racist, somebody we don't want on a school. Like, why don't we not just look at the idea of saying, you're PS 102, the school in the other district is PS 103?
Because then we'll be as bland as the Americans when it comes to school. Look, I don't mind naming schools when it comes to honoring people who have contributed. I think the process here is what people have people's knickers in a knot. You know, a group of the black community went out and advocated for this, and then it seems like the rug was pulled out from underneath them. And I think the process is what people are upset about. The process by which, you know, somebody could decide that they're going to pull the rug out from under a community and not respect the community's wishes. Look, whether we decide to name it PS 1, 2, 3, or 4 later on down the road, that's a different story. But right now, we're naming them according to people, and we should respect that process and the work that went into it.
Yeah, John, it's not that I don't respect the process. I just think that the process becomes so charged with these type of conversations that ultimately you're never going to please everybody. And as bland as the Americans are, maybe they're onto something.
I know my kids' schools, and where I live, all the schools have spent a whack of money on all these digital signs. So they don't actually have regular signs anymore. Everybody has digital signs. And as I was listening to this and I read this story, I thought to myself, first of all, the kids and the people that go to that school, their votes are the ones that should matter the most, because they're the ones in the school and they're the ones that went there. Second of all, I think there is a great opportunity to highlight wonderful people in our community. I don't know that we just have to put a name on a school. So why not mix the two and say, hey, call it PS4, but on those big digital signs, maybe it becomes Ryan Doyle Month. And we learn all about Ryan Doyle. And then the next month, it's J. Michaels Month.
Hey.
And then the next week, it's whoever. Because after those 2 weeks, the kids will probably not be in school anymore. They'll have all left.
Yeah.
But I think you get my point. That's what I'm saying.
And an excellent point it was.
Yes.
Uber drivers in Britain should be classed as workers and not self-employed, the UK Supreme Court ruling today. It's a decision that threatens the company's business model.
Wah.
And holds broader implications for the gig economy. And, you know, I'll start with you on this one, Selena. Is it time to just realize that it's not so much a gig economy if you can't make a living wage, and that these people should be considered employees?
So this is not the first time Uber has gone through a class action suit. They've had scandal after scandal after scandal, suit after suit after suit. Look, when you are a publicly traded company and you're doing well and you're growing as big as Uber is, put your big boy pants on and pay your people. This is not hard. I don't know what John's going to say, but this one was an easy one for me.
Slam dunk.
I couldn't care less. Put your big boy pants on, Uber, and pay your people.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think the challenge is Uber created a business model that relied on the people working, having the mental belief that they were running their own business as a side hustle, and it was like all easy money. And maybe in the beginning it was, and when you were in there on the ground roots and not everybody was driving, maybe you did make lots of money. Certainly pre-pandemic, when people were traveling, certainly wouldn't hurt either. But the reality is I think your point's exactly right. They're a big business. They're on the stock market. They got to play by the same rules as everybody else, and it might not work in their business model. And that might end up hurting the consumer in the end, but so be it. That's how it works. You can't have these guys out hustling 6 and 7 hours and making 30, 40 bucks. It's like, we got to actually support them. They're doing the work. They got to get paid.
Here, here.
Excellent conversation. We appreciate that. Selena, John, thank you so much.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Stay
you
safe.
As well. And, of course, your 6 o'clock CTV News is coming your way in just a matter of moments. But there's a handful of people we'd like to thank for today's program, wouldn't we, Jay? Those people are the following.
Oh.
Mike, Donnie, and yep. Devin, we appreciate the time and all the effort that you put in today and all week long here on The Rush. And, of course, to all you wonderful listeners out there.
Thank you so much. We truly appreciate it. We do return Monday at 2 p.m. And until then,
stay at home. Scene. Yeah.
You have the best weekend ever. Good night.